Time now for the Saturday Morning News, brought to you by Boyd Furniture and Mattress Center in downtown Wayne City, where you get everyday low prices on Serta, Ashley, Catnapper, and Benchcraft Furniture. The Fairfield area weather calling for mostly sunny skies today with a high in the mid-40s, partly cloudy tonight, a low in the mid-20s. I'm Darren Cuddle reporting. The Wayne County Farm Bureau has announced that the Fairfield Rural Fire Protection District was the recipient of a 2019 Community Impact Grant. The district was awarded $2,000 to help fund the purchase of pulse oximetry units, blood pressure kits, portable suction units, and an automated external defibrillator. The goal of the Wayne County Farm Bureau Community Impact Grant Program is to partner with local groups and individuals on projects that will have a long-term impact in their community. Other 2019 projects include updated landscaping at the Wayne County Fairgrounds, a community garden at Wayne City High School, renovations at the Fairfield High School greenhouse, and air conditioning at the Midwest Food Bank Distribution Center in Fairfield. The Wayne County Farm Bureau has awarded over $30,600 in grant funds since 2014 through their Community Impact Grant Program. Applications for the 2020 program will be available in January. More news after this break.
Post frame buildings continue to pop up all over the area. And at Graber Post Buildings, they've been putting up buildings for over 40 years. Garages, pole barns, storage buildings, workshops, apartments, even indoor basketball courts, and some of the most attractive commercial buildings in the state. Every job is specific and unique to your wants and your needs. Graber Post also has packages for contractors and do-it-yourselfers. So for your next building or roofing project, call for a free quote at Graber Post, 800-264-5013.
State Representative Darren Bailey on Thursday voted against two bills that he says pretend to be ethics reform legislation but do not go far enough to actually address problems with corruption in Illinois. He also voted to keep the session going to address the ethics crisis that is real and urgent. Representative Bailey commented, "There is no more important issue than ethics reform right now." The first bill, SB 1639, dealing with statements of economic interest, was introduced in the middle of the night and then changed in the Democrat caucus before it came to the House for a vote, unquote. Representative Bailey and House Republicans are serious about enacting meaningful ethical reforms and have introduced nearly 30 bills to address these serious problems. But the majority Democrats are refusing to acknowledge that we must reform our ethics laws in meaningful ways so Illinois can have better confidence in their elected officials. Bailey went on to say the HJR 93 that establishes a task force is not truly bipartisan because one party will have a supermajority of members making the recommendations on ethics reform. This task force will accomplish nothing meaningful and the report will not be provided until after the March primary, when there may very well be more indictments, unquote. In a late-breaking announcement, Illinois Senate President John Cullerton announced his early retirement Thursday as the FBI continues its investigation into alleged political corruption in the Senate and other areas of Illinois government. For weeks, Representative Bailey and his House Republican colleagues have introduced and demanded action on legislation to address Illinois' ineffective state ethics laws. Bailey added, "As we've seen many times in the past, Democrats filed legislation in the middle of the night that has not allowed proper review by Republican lawmakers or staff. They're returning to their typical playbook, and it's a complete disservice to the people of Illinois. That's why I voted no to adjourn on Thursday, because we shouldn't leave the Capitol until real ethics reform is accomplished," unquote. In other news, reports out of Jefferson County say 15 men who allegedly participated in a drug trafficking ring in Mount Vernon, Illinois, were indicted on federal methamphetamine-related charges. Stephen D. Weinhoft, U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of Illinois, announced Friday the 7-count indictment that was returned October 24th and accuses several men of engaging in a conspiracy to distribute 50 grams or more of methamphetamine in Jefferson County 12 of the men are from Mount Vernon, Illinois. They include 35-year-old Trevin M. Taylor, 25-year-old Shalar L. Taylor, 48-year-old Carlos D. Knox, 32-year-old Myron T. Sigert, 27-year-old Gyrenton C. Ladd, 33-year-old Keith Peoples, Jr., 34-year-old Nathaniel Nesbitt, Jr., 39-year-old Terry M. Turner, 40-year-old Cortez E. Davis, and 38-year-old Terwin L. Morgan. Also indicted were 41-year-old Dedrick R. Bell of Blueford, 35-year-old Brandon N. Barnett of Bloomington, Indiana, and 28-year-old David D. Hunt of Dayton, Ohio. The charged conspiracy allegedly ran from June of last year through this past September. If convicted of the conspiracy charge, all 15 defendants face 10 years to life in prison, up to a $10 million fine, and supervised release of at least 5 years. The Aspen Institute of College Excellence program on Friday named Wabash Valley College in Mount Carmel as one of 150 community colleges eligible to compete for the $1 million Aspen Prize for Community College Excellence, the nation's signature recognition of high achievement and performance among America's community colleges. Commenting on the selection, Wabash Valley College President Dr. Matt Fowler said it's such an honor to be recognized once again for the excellent work of our faculty and staff at Wabash Valley College. The stakeholders of the college, located in the tri-state region, should take great pride in learning the national organization recognizes we are delivering on our mission of improving the lives of our students and strengthening our communities, unquote. 150 community colleges named Friday as eligible to compete for the 2021 Aspen Prize were selected from a pool of nearly 1,000 public two-year colleges nationwide using publicly available data on student outcomes. Top 10 finalists for the 2021 Aspen Prize will be named in May of 2020. We reached record low temperatures 2 days this week here at the studios of WFIW WOKZ. The low Tuesday was 9 degrees, beating out the previous low of 13 set in 1908. On Wednesday, we dropped to 5 degrees. The previous low of 10 degrees on November 13th came in 1986. We also received 3 inches of snow here at the station Monday night and a slight flurry on Halloween that marks the second year in a row we have had at least an inch of snow in November, and the most we've recorded in the month since we received 3.5 inches in 2014. Those are the only 3 years we've recorded snow in November in the last 15 years. Record snow and cold temperatures highlighted the first part of November, and Chris Gielhardt at the National Weather Service in Lincoln indicates temperatures should moderate going into the latter part of the month.
Now, the first half of the month looks to be overall continuing a chilly trend that we've had over the next several days. Even though temperatures today will be a little below normal, overall still going to be colder than normal. We do see some periods when it's going to be very chilly, especially Thursday and Friday of this week, and then looks like another surge toward the beginning of next week where it'll be abnormally cold for this time of the year. But as we get toward the second half of the month, there are some signs of it trying to trend back above normal across a good part of the country. Looks like we're going to be trending more toward temperatures getting closer to normal and toward the middle of the month, and our outlook for the period from the 16th to the 29th, which does cover the Thanksgiving time frame, does favor temperatures tilting a little bit above normal for that period, especially further south you get in Illinois. And overall, it's been looking like we should be trending drier over the next week or two. Currently, we really don't have any rain or snow in the forecast across central Illinois.
As for the rest of the winter, Gielhardt indicates there isn't anything to suggest one trend over another. He indicates it could be a bit wetter than normal.
Our latest outlooks from our Climate Prediction Center don't really indicate a particular trend temperature-wise across the Midwest. There's no real indications whether it's going to be strongly colder than normal or warmer than normal. basically the eastern part of the country and also more across the Rockies into the west, that's the most likely location where it would be warmer than normal. However, they are showing a rather broad area of precipitation being trending above normal from about Montana all the way across the northern part of the country over toward New Jersey, Washington, D.C. area, and that does include most of central Illinois.
Gil Hart says it's still too soon to predict a white Christmas, and it's also too early to tell what snowfall amounts might look like for the rest of the winter. Chicago is the most corrupt city in America, and Illinois ranks as the third most corrupt state in the nation, according to a University of Illinois study conducted early this year. Now the cost of that corruption is coming to light. Amy Corte is with the Illinois Policy Institute and has been crunching the numbers.
We have been collecting a lot of data, and this year we found, almost 30 lawmakers, businesses, and political figures have been investigated, questioned, indicted, or convicted on corruption charges. So there's, unfortunately, a lot of evidence to back that up. And, you know, corruption is an extraordinarily expensive vice, as well as just being flat-out dishonest. It costs our state millions and millions of dollars, about $550 million a year in decreased economic growth, which means no jobs, you know, that otherwise would have been there. It's a big disincentive to investment. So it costs our state quite a lot.
Only New York and California ranked higher than Illinois in the most corrupt state list. Governor J.B. Pritzker is applauding passage of pension consolidation legislation, Kim Howard reports.
The consolidation of Illinois' 649 separate downstate and suburban police and fire pension systems into just two has been a long time coming. It will also be a welcome relief to municipalities, says Governor Pritzker.
Working together, we have put hundreds of cities in Illinois on a path toward alleviating their massive property tax burdens. And just as importantly, we've begun to show that Illinois can tackle its most intractable problems.
The governor says combining the local systems will help generate greater investment returns and reduce administrative costs. At the state capitol, I'm Kim Howard.
Hydrant flushing has started for the Mill Shoals and Burnt Prairie areas. According to Wayne Carter, hydrants in Mill Shoals will be flushed next Monday. Carter says he hopes to be done by Thanksgiving. Residents may notice discoloration and low water pressure. If you have questions, you can contact Wayne Carter at 618-383-5850. And the Fairfield Rural Fire Department will be serving lunch Sunday for their annual pork chop dinner at the Mill Shoals Fire Station. Menu includes pork chops, scalloped potatoes, green beans, rolls, and dessert. Cost is by donation, and proceeds will be used to buy fire equipment, serving from 11 to 1, and carryouts will be available. That's the news. Area deaths are next.
No more suffering through repair bills. No more just plain unreliable washers and dryers. Speed Queen is now offering a 10-year parts and labor warranty on all its home laundry products at Rush Appliance and Furniture Company. Our Speed Queen washer and dryer repairs start at $1,700 at Rush Appliance, and you can choose from top loading, front loading, and stacking. So come see me, Sean Rush, for superior performing laundry products with 10-year warranties and superior customer service and support at Rush Appliance and Furniture Company in downtown Fairfield.
This is Ethan Kaiser with Trust Bank. Legacy is defined as something received by a predecessor. To the wealth management team at Trust Bank, your legacy is an important piece of your financial plan. We understand how hard you have worked for your assets and how generous you are. Trust Bank wants to help you create a plan that allows you to make a lasting contribution to a charitable organization of your choice. We truly want your legacy to be something that lives on forever. Give Trust Bank's wealth management team a call at 618-395-4311 today.
Area deaths are brought to you by Nails Funeral Home in Fairfield and Albion. Nails Funeral Home, locally owned and operated, serving the area with professionalism and care in your family's time of need. 66-year-old Albion resident Eldon Wayne Whitmer died Friday at his home. He was a machinist. Surviving our daughter, Amanda Adriano of Albion, three sisters, Sandy, Tabitha, and Diane, and two brothers, Greg and Jeff. Also, one grandson survives. Visitation for Eldon Wayne Whitmer will be from 6 until 8 this evening at the Ingram Meredith Funeral Home in Albion. funeral services will be at 2 p.m. Sunday. A graveside service and burial will take place Monday at 2 p.m. at Rose Hill Cemetery in Central City, Kentucky. Memorials can be made to the Lung Cancer Research Foundation in New York City. The Ingram Meredith Funeral Home in Albion is in charge of the arrangements. 73-year-old former Fairfield resident Marcia Lynn Land died Friday morning at Wabash Christian Village in Carmi. She did clerical work for several businesses. Surviving are a brother, Tony Jones of Ellery, a sister, Sharon Langley of Wood River, Illinois. Funeral services for Lynn Land will be at 11 a.m. Monday at Nail's Funeral Home in Fairfield. Visitation from 9:30 a.m. until the time of service. Burial will be in Maple Hill Cemetery. Memorials may be given to Wabash Christian Village and will be accepted at Nail's Funeral Home in Fairfield, which is in charge of the arrangements. 93-year-old Reinhard resident Hazel Smith died Wednesday at her home. She was a homemaker. Surviving are daughter Peggy Dickey, a brother Jack Block, four grandchildren, seven great-grandchildren, and several nieces and nephews. Funeral services for Hazel Smith will be at 11 o'clock this morning at the Hosselton Meredith Funeral Home in Sisney. Visitation from 9 a.m. until the time of service. Burial will be in Sisney Cemetery. Memorials can be made to the Blue Point Free Will Baptist Church or Clay County Hospice and will be accepted at the Hosselton Meredith Funeral Home in Sisney, which is in charge of the arrangements. 76-year-old Fairfield resident Ronald E. Bora died at 5:21 p.m. Tuesday at Select Specialty Hospital in Evansville. He was a scientist and inventor. Surviving are a son, Scott Bora of Greenfield, Indiana, two grandchildren, brothers William Bora of Chicago and Glenn Bora of Fairfield, one niece and one nephew. Visitation from Ron Bora will be from 2 until 4 p.m. Saturday, November 30th at the Johnson and Vaughn Funeral Home. Per his request, his body will be cremated. Memorial donations can be made to the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and will be accepted at the Johnson and Vaughn Funeral Home in Fairfield, which is in charge of the arrangements. A reminder, our obituaries are updated regularly at WFIWradio.com. I'm Darren Cottle reporting.
You saved, you scrimped, and finally that hot new car is yours and you're in love. Just make sure she's insured with the best auto coverage you can find. Talk to your local Pekin insurance agent about complete auto coverage. And don't forget to ask about the variety of discounts available for your sweet ride. Request a quote at PekinInsurance.com. In Flora and Sisney, contact Bill Atwood at 662-7000 and put their Beyond the Expected service to work for you.
Wabash Communications would like to wish you and your family a picture-perfect Thanksgiving. May the smiles be even more abundant than the meal. Happy Thanksgiving from everyone at Wabash Communications. The friends and family around the table are what matter the most, and we hope you enjoy a fun-filled feast with the people you hold most dear. Be sure to take lots of photos of those smiling faces to share on social media. Wabash Communications understands how much you rely on technology to stay connected with others. Thanks for choosing Wabash Communications as your provider.
Here's a look at the Fairfield area weather for today. Mostly sunny with a high of 45. Some locations might get to the upper 40s as well as maybe get to 50. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 25. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high of 46. Monday, partly sunny, high of 45. Tuesday, mostly sunny, high of 49. I think some locations might get to the low 50s. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high of 58. Might get to 60, actually. That'd be nice. And then Thursday next week, showers likely, cloudy and breezy, high of 56. Yesterday's high in Fairfield was 44. Our low this morning was 25. And currently in Fairfield, underneath sunny skies, the sun continues to rise over to the east. It is 28.